Good morning.
Good morning.
Please, if you have your Bibles, kindly turn to John chapter 6, and we shall read verses 1 to 15. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who has inspired the writing of these words. We pray, Lord, that he will be here to bless us, to fill us, to challenge us, and to give us a fresh determination to do what pleases you. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Yesterday, I came across some interesting stories of random acts of kindness, based on the experience of various readers of 2 of our newspapers, the Metro and the Guardian. And I selected 2 of these stories just to introduce this message. For effectiveness, I'll just read what they wrote, because they really make some very interesting points. So please bear with me as I share this story with you. The first one was reported in Metro. I don't know how many of you read the Metro, but there is a section of Metro. It's very popular in London. It's free as well. Anything that is free, I think, has to be popular. But there's always a section of quick acts of kindness that are reported. Some of them just 1 line, 2 lines, but there's always a challenge in them. So the first one is from Metro, and it's a story by a lady called Emily Rogers, and it's a company director in London. And she wrote, 6 years ago, I was put at risk of redundancy, along with many of my colleagues, in a fraught meeting at head office. I was 6 months pregnant and really worried about how I'd support my baby if I lost my income. I walked tearfully to St. Paul's Tube Station, wheeling my suitcase behind me. The escalators were broken, and everyone was jostling to get down and then. It was chaos. All the hormones and concern about my job became too much, and I burst into tears right next to the barriers. I felt someone tug at my suitcase and pull it from my hands. At first, I thought I was being robbed. But the reality was much nicer. A young man of about 17 took it from me, asked people to move out of my way, and led me to the bottom of the escalator. He kept turning back to check I was okay, and by the time we reached the bottom, I was properly crying. He put my suitcase down next to me and said simply, "I hope your day gets better." Then he disappeared into the crowd. It may seem small, but in that moment, that man really transformed my day. I didn't ever get to thank him because it was so busy in the station and he had left before I gathered myself up. But every time I'm at St. Paul's, I think of that man and wished I'd been able to tell him how much his kindness has meant to me. The second one is from The Guardian, and it's about a Christmas card. I think many of you must have sent many, but this is a very, very special Christmas card. I like the story, I must say. It's true that small things can mean a lot when we are feeling down. As I found out one Christmas Eve, a good few years ago, I had just separated from my girlfriend and was in deep financial trouble. So this is what in Britain we'll call a double whammy. Worse, I knew very few people in the town where I was living in. So there I was, alone in a cafe, watching all these happy, smiling faces walk by, hearing the laughter of other clients, and mulling over the fact that I would be alone on Christmas Day. It seemed at the time that I had never felt so glum in my life. Then a waitress, having noticed how down I looked, came over and asked if everything was okay. No, the British can be very polite. "Are you okay? Is everything fine? Can I be of help?" But this person said, "Are you okay?" I explained why it wasn't, and she tried to make me feel better. Then she went back to work, and when I went to the till to pay, she gave me a Christmas card that she had hastily created from some thick brown paper. There was a felt pen drawing of a Christmas tree and some stars on it. And it had been signed by 4 people who worked there. She also gave me a bag of Christmas sweets. I was extremely touched by that gesture, and although I ate all the sweets, I still have the card to this very day. Just this simple acts of kindness. I think these stories remind us that we come across all kinds of opportunities to show kindness to people every single day. But I think we must confess that sometimes we let those opportunities pass us by. I think if we are more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we would take those opportunities. So it's my prayer that this year we would seize those opportunities that God put across our way to be kind to people that we meet, people we meet in the streets, to our neighbors, members of our families, people in our offices, and I dare say, to members of this fellowship. We need kindness. I need kindness. I need someone to show me kindness. You're all very kind people, I know, but I'm just saying I need someone to be kind to me. And I'm sure you need someone to be kind to you. So I pray that God will challenge all of us in this fellowship to show more kindness to each other this year. The miracle we read about in John chapter 6 certainly included somebody that God used to bless thousands of people. Now, this miracle is popularly known as the feeding of 5,000. But I'm sure you realize that there were more than 5,000 people there. We can see this very clearly in Matthew chapter 14, verse 21, which indicated that in addition to the 5,000, there were also some children and some women. So the number is certainly greater than that. But it is my prayer that God would challenge us afresh to be channels of blessing to many people, not just this year, but beyond this year. The song we sang, "Make Me a Channel of Blessing," is a prayer from my heart, and I hope it's a prayer from your heart as well. And so as we look at this message, the title is obviously, "Are You a Channel of Blessing?" It's a personal question. I cannot answer it for you, but I would like us to ask ourselves that question as I share this message with you. Are you a channel of blessing? And I'll focus on three key points. Have you failed the master's test? Have you been selfish? And have you been wasteful? Have you failed the master's test? Have you been selfish? And have you been wasteful? Let us look at these three points in more detail. The first one, have you failed the master's test? As we all know from our own experience, one way a teacher can check how the students are doing is to set them some tests from time to time. I think in the UK, we have tests, but not as much as in the US. We have grandchildren in the US, and they do tell us some of the tests they have. Some of them they call pop quizzes. They are surprise quizzes. When you are not ready, when you are not prepared, they test you. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ had some students who actually were on a kind of on-the-job training. They were on-the-job training. And the time had come for our Lord to test them. Now, the test is explained in various ways in the four Gospels. So I have decided to fish out those the way Jesus Christ put the test to them. In John chapter 6, verse 5, the passage we read, Jesus asked Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that this may eat?" In Matthew 14, 16, referring to the crowd, Jesus said to his disciples, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." In Mark chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus said to his disciples, "You give them something to eat." And similarly, in Luke chapter 9, verse 13, Jesus indeed said, "You give them something to eat." Now, what kind of answer do you expect disciples to give to our Lord Jesus? We need to bear in mind the experience and interaction they had with our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, they already saw Jesus Christ turn water into wine at Cana of Galilee in John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. They knew that Jesus had healed the son of a royal official who lived in Capernaum, John chapter 4, verses 46 to 54. And his disciples were with him in Jerusalem when he healed a disabled man at the pool of Bethesda, John chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. Therefore, having seen Jesus Christ demonstrate his power, you will expect that all his disciples will simply say, well, you can perform a miracle to feed them. That's what we will expect. But that was not the answer they gave. Instead, we see in the passage we read that Philip and Andrew excelled in explaining how the crowd could not be fed. If you look at John chapter 6, verses 7 to 9, you will see that, first of all, Philip did a quick calculation, probably in his head, or he just looked around. He did a calculation, and he concluded that 200 days' wages of a common laborer, that is 200 denarii, would not be enough to give each person a small piece of bread. Then Andrew looked around, and he found a young boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But as far as he was concerned, it was a no-brainer that the resources available would not be enough to feed 5,000 plus people. That was the kind of response these students gave. Now, I don't know what kind of conclusion you reach, but it's obvious that if I were to mark their answer, I will give them a big F. F for failure, for those who are not familiar with it. F for failure. Yes, they failed the master's test, despite the experience they had with our Lord Jesus. But you and I can ask ourselves, could we have done better? If you were there as one of the disciples, would you have done better? I'm not so sure of that. Sometimes we are thinking only of natural possibilities, and we forget to think of the supernatural possibilities. And I want to challenge us today. Sometimes, instead of looking up, we are looking down and glued to our problems instead of looking up to our Heavenly Father, who is almighty, who is all-powerful, who is all-knowing. I know that we have prayed a lot in this congregation for our brothers and sisters who are not well, or relatives who have all kinds of problems. We have, and we have not seen, in some cases, the results we expect. It is very, very easy after all that time for us to constrain our thinking to the natural level and forget that there is a miracle worker on our side. Now, Jesus Christ, this same Jesus Christ, this same one that fed 5,000 plus people from 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Remember, small fish. 2 small fish. He did that. That same Jesus is alive today. That same Jesus is on your side today. That same Jesus is still our miracle worker. So let us reaffirm today that Jesus, Jesus, this same Jesus, is still doing miracles. Let us confess and believe the words of Luke chapter 1 verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Did you hear that? For with God, not with man. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I'm believing great things for this congregation. I'm believing many, many things for this congregation. I can see our sisters who have been going through chemo, that they are sitting here today with us and even smiling. It is something to thank God for. It shows that there is a God in heaven who is a miracle worker. There is Jesus in heaven who is a miracle worker. But that same Jesus is right here in our midst. He's right here in our midst. And I believe he's going to do miracles in our time. But let us elevate our thinking beyond the natural. Philip and Andrew were thinking completely in the natural. Yes, what can this this small amount of resource, what can it do? It's too small. But they forgot the other dimension, the supernatural. Let's bring in the supernatural this year. Yes, of course, we live in the natural. But let's elevate our thinking to the supernatural. I will see the super, super, super working of a super great God. We will see it in our midst in the name of Jesus. But I ask you a question. Has the Lord been testing you recently? Has he been testing you? Has he been testing your faith recently? If so, did you remember to trust him? And did you rely on his mighty power? How did you perform in the master's test? It is the Holy Spirit who will tell us how we've performed. Did the Holy Spirit tell you that you performed well? Or did the Holy Spirit tell you that you failed the test? Please note that we have a sympathetic Savior. He loves us deeply. And that love will not change when we fail his test. He will give us more opportunities to grow our faith in him. Remember that when the disciples failed the test, he did not sack them. He could have told them, sorry, I'm done with you. Bye-bye. He didn't. He did not sack them. Instead, he gave them more opportunities to learn, more opportunities to grow. So my brothers and sisters, if you have disappointed our Lord today, don't worry. Confess it to him. Ask him to forgive. But ask him to give you more strength to obey him and to move forward in your life. The next point is, have you been selfish? Have you been selfish? As indicated in John chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, Andrew can be given some credit for identifying from such a large crowd a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Now, we don't know why this boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish with him. Some people have theorized that maybe that was his food. Some said, well, maybe he's been he's a capitalist, and maybe he was trying to make some money from the crowd. Maybe he was looking for some people to buy his 5 loaves and 2 small fish. Whatever may be the reason, what we know about this boy is that he surrendered all he had, the 5 loaves and 2 fish, for the master's use. He was not selfish with his fish, and he was not selfish with his barley loaves. Jesus blessed and multiplied what the boy gave and used it to feed 5,000 plus people. It's amazing what God can do with the little we have when we surrender it to Him for His use. When the great power of Jesus operates on the little resources we have, those resources become big. He was just giving this thing out. It would have been quite a sight. He was the one giving it out. He was just giving the food and fish out to the disciples. And more came, more and more came. Yes, your resources might be small, but Jesus can do a lot with it. I ask you this question: is there something you have that God is asking you to bring for His use? Is God asking you to share with others your money, your food, your clothes, your shoes, your time, your talents? If so, I challenge you to obey Him so that He can use you to bless many, many people. Let us follow the good example of this young boy. It is worth noting that we don't even know the name of the young boy. You know, he was such an important character in this story, but we don't know his name. It is not important that your name is mentioned when you do a good thing. What is important is that glory goes to God. Amen. He gets the glory. You are not to get the glory. I know sometimes it's inevitable your name is mentioned, but I want to say categorically, even if your name is not mentioned for doing a good thing, don't worry. First of all, the Lord credits your heavenly account. So you know your heavenly account is being loaded. Praise Him. But you don't have to be mentioned. The glory goes to Him. It is also worth noting that this was a young boy. They call him a young boy. And yet, God used him to bless many people. It doesn't matter whether you are young, whether you are old, whether you are tall, whether you are short, whether you are clever, whether you are not, whether you are poor, whether you are rich, whether you are white, whether you are black, whoever you are, God can use you to bless many people, if and only if you are willing to. Now, furthermore, I think it's good for us to apply the important principle found in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. God promised to bless Abraham so that he will in turn be a blessing to many people. Of course, we know that ultimately that was fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. But the principle here is this: God blesses us to bless others. Are you just accumulating blessings and the blessings are not flowing to others? Ask yourself that question. God has blessed us in many ways, but is that blessing flowing to other people? The most important blessing we can share with others is that one of salvation. And that song we sang reminds us of that. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready His service to do? That's a question for you and I. Is the love of Jesus flowing through you? Are you sharing the gospel of Jesus with other people? Now, in addition to sharing the gospel with them, I have listed a few things that you and I can do to be a blessing within this fellowship and outside as well. Some of them are very simple things that you and I can do, but I believe they can be a blessing. They can cheer somebody up. They can encourage somebody. So I just mentioned a few things. First is to pray for them. Of course, we have been doing that. So please continue to pray. We need to visit them and listen to them. Some of us are very good at talking, but we're not very good at listening. Sometimes what somebody needs is just someone to sit there and listen. Let us develop the attitude of listening. That's part of blessing somebody. Listen to them. Phoning them. Calling them on WhatsApp, on Skype, on FaceTime, and of course sending emails to them. Sending them cards. Sending them flowers. To be honest, if you send me flowers, I'll be very grateful. I wouldn't mind. And these days, you can order flowers online. You don't need to go to the florist next door. You can order flowers online, and the flowers will be delivered. Remember that. You can do that. This one we can all do. Saying thank you. Just saying thank you. Saying well done. When appropriate. Helping them to carry out many tasks. I believe that if we implement these very simple things, there will be a warmth in our relationship. And we can really be a blessing to one another. I'm watching the times. Now, I think if the pipe conveying water to your house is blocked, I would say you have a problem. And it has to be fixed very, very quickly. We are channels of blessings, or we are to be channels of blessings. But our channels can sometimes be blocked. And I ask you, is your channel blocked today? Such that blessings cannot flow from you to others. Is your channel blocked today? If so, I know someone who can fix it. I know. Because he has fixed mine for me. Jesus, our Jesus, can repair that channel. It can unblock the channel. Sin can sometimes be what is blocking our channel. If there is sin, disobedience, whatever it is, bring it to Jesus. Let Jesus remove it. Let him clear the channel and let your blessing flow to others. I'll go to the last point now very quickly. The last point is, have you been wasteful? Have you been wasteful? Now, please note that I'm not trying to make you feel guilty about your Christmas shopping. But it is a very valid question. Have you been wasteful? And I ask myself the same question. Have I been wasteful? According to John chapter 6 verse 12, all those in the crowd had enough to eat, and there were some leftovers. Jesus instructed his disciples to gather the leftovers. He said, in some versions, I think the NIV, he said, so that they will not be wasted, so that they will not be lost, so that they will not be wasted. It is true that sometimes God gives us more than enough. The question is, what do you do with the excess? Do you waste it? Or you use it to bless many people? We live in a world where there is a lot of waste. Waste of money, food, water, clothes, shoes, electronic equipment, cars. But as Christians, we need to ensure that we are not wasteful. There is a website called Go Compare. In fact, the advert of this man is always attracts my attention. I don't know if you've seen this singer with some kind of mustache. Go Compare, Go Compare. I mean, He's such a character. But you know, Go Compare actually do some very nice, they provide some nice information, or some useful information rather. And one of the information they provided was on the kind of thing we waste money on in this country. And in November 2017, they published some information. This is what they said. The average Brit fritters away £590, 40p each year on things they don't need or use. Collectively as a nation, this means we are misspending to the tune of £30.5 billion annually. Then they listed four common money wasters. Please note this, because I think it's quite an eye-opener for me. And it's something that I think we can do something about. Four of them. The first one, the highest one, is overbuying food that doesn't get used, and also throwing away the leftovers. Secondly, buying clothes which are never worn. They are adorning the wardrobe. They are never worn. Thirdly, overpaying for bundled TV, phone, and cable services. And fourthly, buying too many takeaway meals. Now, while this kind of information might be disappointing, we need to bring it to our own personal level. We need to prayerfully make our monthly budgets and keep to them. I'm assuming that you do monthly budgets. I suggest we all prayerfully review what we have. And we are going to, Jane and I are going to do this. Review what you have in your house now, and ask the Lord which of this you can actually give away to bless somebody. Because somebody is there, whether through the charities, whether within our fellowship, somebody is there waiting to be blessed by maybe somebody, something in your house. You need to review what you have. The other thing is, you need to review your shopping habits. Now, Jane and I do, we look out for deals, 2-for-1. And yesterday we went to Holland and Barrett. Am I giving out a secret? We went to Holland and Barrett. And in Holland and Barrett, I think it's once a month, they have a special offer. You buy one, then the second one, you get for 1p. So essentially you are getting 2-for-1. Now we went there yesterday. I think maybe they thought something was wrong with us. We bought quite a few things like that. No, to try and optimize the use of the resources God gave us. But we need to review our shopping. Are we buying things we don't need, or buying too many things, too much? We need to ask ourselves. And finally, on this, I believe that a lot of us give 10% of our income to the Lord, or tithe. But I think some people have the wrong attitude that once you give the 10%, you can really spend the 90% as you wish. No. Who owns 100%? God. God owns the 100%. And he wants us to get the best out of the 100%. So please, brothers and sisters, let's not be wasteful. Let's use what God has given us maximally and to his glory. And in conclusion, we have examined the topic, are you a channel of blessing? And we focused on the following key points. Have you failed the master's test? Have you been selfish? And have you been wasteful? May God help us all to be channels of blessing in 2019 and beyond. But before finishing, I would like to challenge you on two things. Let us examine our hearts and ask if there is any area of our lives we need to rededicate to the Lord. Maybe something we have not been doing right in His sight. Maybe we have disappointed Him in some ways. Maybe we have not been channels of blessing to many people. Maybe we have been disobedient to His voice. Maybe we have been wasteful. It might not even be physical things. Maybe we've been wasting time. I ask myself, as a retired person, this question. Where did 2018 go? Where did 2018 go? What did I do in 2018? You know, sometimes my children ask me, "Oh, Granddad, how was your week?" And I have to ask myself, what have I done this week? Maybe you haven't reached that stage in your life. But I ask myself that. Have I wasted time? Have you wasted time? Let us make better use of all the resources that God has given us. So if you need to rededicate your life to Christ, please do so this morning. And lastly, John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus, the bread of life, can satisfy our souls. Have you come to eat that bread? Have you come to accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord? If not, today is another opportunity. And one thing that I learned from this, the little boy in the story, is that as far as we know, he didn't hold back anything. You know, he could have selected the best of the five loaves, barley loaves. He could have selected that for himself. He could have looked at the two small fish and selected one for himself. But as far as we know, he surrendered all the loaves. He surrendered all the fish to the Lord. The question for you and I today is, have we surrendered all to Jesus? It's easy to sing the song, "Unto Jesus I surrender all." But have you really surrendered all to Jesus? Is there something you are holding back this morning? Is there something in your life that Jesus is saying, "Let go, let go, let go," and you are holding to it? Let us follow the example of this young boy. He surrendered all to Jesus. Have you surrendered all? It's my prayer that in this new year, we will surrender all in every aspect of our lives. And when we do that, you will be amazed how God will bless you and bless others. May God bless these words to our hearts. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the love that you have for us in Jesus. Thank you that we are truly blessed. We are truly blessed because Jesus gave all for us. Lord, I pray that each one of us here will give all for Jesus this year and beyond. Father, forgive us where we have failed you, and grant us a fresh anointing, a fresh strength this day to serve you more and to trust you more. Thank you that you are still in the miracle working business. Thank you, Lord, that you are going to do miracles in our midst this year. We again commit our brothers and sisters who are struggling. We commit them to your hands. We pray that they will see your healing power this year. We pray, Lord, that they will give testimonies in our midst this year. Reign in our hearts, Lord. Reign in our lives, Lord, this year and beyond. And be with each one of us as we go our different ways. and make us a channel of blessing to many people. For in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.